Something that I've been thinking about is the fact that we pass this way once, and also then I've been reading in 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and noticing how, and did notice how the consequences of choices that were made, what an effect that had. And so as we think about passing this way once, I thought, you know, that has a familiar ring to it, and did find where it was quoted from. Now, what I'll start with here is a poem that's kind of adapted from the original, and it's simply this: I shall not pass this way again through this toilsome world, alas. Once and only once I pass. If a good deed I may do, if a kindness I may show to a suffering fellow man, let me do it while I can. No delay, for it is plain, we shall not pass this way again. Jesus said several things. I'll be reading just a couple of verses. And Paul, at the end of their life, in reflecting on, the first was Jesus. I'm not sure how close it was to the end of his life, but he said this way: I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And I think that's simply saying, opportunities come, and they go, or they're missed if you miss them. But he did say this, that was just at the end of his life: I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then the apostle Paul, let me just read a couple of verses from two different passages. The one is in Acts 20, and the other is in 2 Timothy 4. Acts 20, he was telling... he called the Ephesian elders, and this is what he said to them. Yeah, 24, just kind of breaking in. He's talking about the fact that he's been told that he's going to be bound at Jerusalem. But he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then in 2 Timothy 4, here it's at the very end of his life. And it says here in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so I said, one of the things I've been thinking about is that we pass this way one time. You know, we get so busy with the things that kind of are urgent, that feel like they need to be done. But it just behooves us to at times stop and reflect in our busyness, in our hurry, perhaps, and say, now, are we, though, involved in the way that we should be in the things that really matter? And I realize these daily things do call, but are we neglecting the things that matter most? I had read what Jesus said about the night cometh when no man can work, and I think what he was really saying is, you know, the opportunity is here. Let's do it while the opportunity is here. Now, it's true that we may miss an opportunity. Perhaps the Lord gives us a similar situation that we can kind of maybe have another chance. But it is also true that we live each day only one time. That's just simply a fact of life. so in our choices, you know, this thing of sowing and reaping. The choices we make, they bring consequences or they bring rewards. And like I said, I was reading in Samuel and Kings, and it kind of relates, although it's maybe just a bit different. But David, at the end of his life, was talking to his son Solomon, and he mentioned Shimei and Barzillai, and they made some very different choices in the way that they treated David when David was fleeing from Solomon. You know, when Solomon tried to take over, or did for a brief time take over the throne, I've thought about this in the past. You know, the people there of Israel had to make a choice. With whom would they align themselves? And maybe for some, their loyalty was with David, and they quickly made that choice to, in whatever way they could support him. Perhaps there were others who were younger men, who were rebellious like Absalom. And perhaps there were those that tried to decide which side shall we side with based on what they figured the outcome was going to be. But in any case, these two men that I've named made different choices. Now, David is saying to Solomon at the end of his life, I'm about to go the way, and this is in 1 Kings 2, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, so be strong, show yourself a man. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. And so he's giving Solomon admonishment in relation to himself. And then he mentions several others. He mentions Joab. I'm just going to skip over that and go down to what he says about Barzillai of Gilead. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead, and let them be among those that eat at your table. They stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. It doesn't actually mention the sons in the passage that I'm going to look at just real briefly, but it does mention the father, and obviously it seems like the sons stood with their father. And then in contrast to them, here was Shimei. And remember, you have with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who called down bitter curses on me the day that I went to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and see, this is when David was returning then, he came down to meet him. I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death by the sword. Turning over to 2 Samuel, and I see, well, some of the verses I was going to read, I will just perhaps just refer to. But in 2 Samuel 16 and verses 5 to 8, this is then where Shimei, it talks about him and what he was doing. Let's just break in there at 6, and says, he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king and all the people and all the mighty men that were on his right hand and left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou son of, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now, what kind of sense does that make? Because you remember when, on several occasions, David's men tried to persuade him to take Saul's life when they actually had an opportunity to do it, and David forbade them to do it. And now he's calling David a bloody man. But anyway, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, wanted to go over and kill him, and David stopped him. And he said in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. As David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against them and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. And then when David came back, Shimei came and apologized. So David is telling Solomon, and I see I don't have time to read that, but he is telling Solomon, now after I'm gone, you take care of Shimei. I promised that I wouldn't. And so after David was gone, Solomon called Shimei and referred to what had happened. And he said, now build yourself a house here in Jerusalem and don't go outside Jerusalem, because if you do, you will die. And so he said he agreed with him. Well, a couple of years later, his servants ran away. He went and got them and brought them back. And so King Solomon reminded him of what had been said. And then he commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, to put him to death, and he did. Now, in contrast to that was then Barzillai of Gilead. And he was an old man, and he and it's several of them that are mentioned, but he is mentioned among others in 2 Samuel 17:27. And here's what they brought. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now, he was taking a risk, because suppose Solomon would have been triumphant. He could have got himself in trouble for doing this. But in any case, while it doesn't mention his sons, when David was speaking to Solomon, he said, now, oh, and by the way, Barzillai, when he met him, when David came back, David invited him to come and eat at his table. But he said, no, I'm old. Take my servant. And so he took his servant. And now David is saying to Solomon, do that for his son. Bring them that they may eat at your table. Well, I was talking about the fact that we passed this way once, and I'm talking about the fact that the choices we make have consequences. And so in one case, he lost his life. In the other case, they were rewarded. Now, the quote from which the poem that I read in the beginning was one from Stephen Grillet, who lived several centuries ago. He was a Quaker missionary from France to the USA, and he said this: I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. And sometimes it's been said that we should give flowers to people while they are alive, rather than waiting until they are gone. And I was reminded of that recently, and it seemed like the Lord prompted me to, in several cases, express appreciation. And I think we should simply do that. One of the things I think about sometimes is the way that we, with a baby, or a young child, how affirming we are, and how, you know, good job, or whatever. Well, just thought about the fact of why can't we be more affirming to each other and give flowers while they live, in older people or in our own case. What would we say if we knew that this was our last day? Or what would we say to someone if we knew it was their last day? Let's do the things that God calls us to do while we have the opportunity to do it. Let's kneel. Thank you, Father, for this day and its opportunities. It's a real blessing and a real privilege to be assembled in this way again this morning. I pray your blessing on each part of the service, each Sunday school teacher as they lead out in their classes, and as we participate, and then bless the sharing time and the message. Lord, may we receive what you have and put it to practice in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name.